What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the show. I am really excited to be bringing on this beautiful guest in front of me, Jenna. We met and were introduced through a mutual friend, Melaine, who I'm sure will be on the podcast soon enough. And I knew that I wanted to have you on, Jenna, because you're all about like embodiment and microdosing. You talk so much about mushrooms, breath work. These are all things that are so near and dear to my heart. And I was like, I want to have a conversation about psychedelics and the power of them with self-discovery. And I didn't really want to do that alone. And then I got introduced to you and you're in your geodome right now, which you guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, like how, like you can kind of see the background. If you're listening to it on the podcast, you're going to have to imagine, but I knew that I wanted to have you on. So welcome. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, Jenna.
Ah, thank you for having me. Yeah, this is our sacred ceremony space. So we're in a very cool space to have this conversation today. The Geodome is our new sort of ceremony space here. So it feels good to be recording a podcast. This is the first podcast I've done in here. So this is great.
thank
you for having me.
Of course. That must feel so nice to see like the fruits of your labor and like what you do and love and like your life's work, and you're like literally in it.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Like I often say, when it comes to psychedelic work or even expansion work, when we're, you know, expanding beyond what we know that we know, like it's all about creation and intention. A lot of times people go into like what I've got to heal and what I've got to do, but creation is the biggest healer, because what no longer serves you cannot go where you're going. And so the creation of this has been like such an upheaval, because like there was like block after block and a lot of problem solving along the way to get it to where it's at now. So it feels really good, because it wasn't without a lot of blood, sweat and tears to be sitting here. So yeah, I love creation and I love what it creates on an inner world as well. Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, I really, it's so beautiful to watch like the process, right? Like somebody can find you on social media and listen to this podcast, and they're like, oh my God, it's so amazing. But they just have like no clue, like how much effort and work and intention and ceremony and conversations and money and resources like really do go into the expansion, the up level, the experience of building. And, I can relate so hard to you. Like you're such a creative and like an artist, right? And I've been so super artistic and creative my whole life, really. And I think that's another thing that I was like, ooh, I feel like this is going to be maybe some of the meat of what we talk about today, of just like really claiming and saying like I am above all else an artist. And it's like, what does that actually mean? You know, because so many of our listeners are coaches and creatives, and they're very multi-passionate and they want to do a lot of things and they want to see the world. And I'm kind of curious, like how even have you like landed here? You know, like maybe this is a cool place to share like where this vision began.
Oh God. Where the vision began, you know, I was working on retreats all around the world, medicine retreats, plant medicine retreats, psychedelics, if you want to call them that. And my role was integration. So I offered breath work and then did the integration program after we were in person with each other online. And while I was traveling the world, I was getting paid to like literally go to these places I'd never, ever in my wildest dreams thought I'd go to. And it just dawned on me how, you know, you just create the space and the people come. You know, I watched the woman who created those retreats just magically just choose a place, put it out there, create this delicious experience for people. And I got to go along for the ride. And I often wondered, like, imagine how cool it would be to have your own space where you could welcome people in and what that could look like. And I never ever thought it would be here in my hometown. I live under Mount Taranaki here on the west coast of the North Island of New Zealand. And I never thought I'd full circle and come back here and create a retreat space in a massive geodome in my hometown where I grew up. it kind of was seeded while I was traveling around, thinking like, oh, if people only knew these experiences existed and how cool it would be to have like a hub and be able to gather people in that way somewhere. And I had this vision. I did a mastermind with a bunch of girlfriends. Milane was actually there. And there were four of us, and my friend Suniva, whose house it was at, led us in to this visioning. And I saw this, this was like two years ago. And I saw this, and I saw the river, and I saw the mountain and the bushes, and I saw a man and a little girl, and this place where people could come and gather. And that was 2 years ago. I didn't meet my partner till just over a year ago, and he already has a little three-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And this was seated in that visioning, and something she led us into, which was just coming through before I jumped on here with you, was she said, what's the feeling? What's the feeling associated to that creation or what you're creating? And it was really calm, really grounded, really still. And being an emotional in my human design, I can be like, whoa, excited, and then really low and like crying. And I can be quite chaotic in my emotions, which is great. It's the feminine, right? And
we love that.
So I knew I needed to cultivate an embodiment of calmness and groundedness in my day-to-day life, which is what I really focused on out of that whole visioning, was what's the feeling associated to it and how can I create that to create this? And my partner is that. He's really calm and grounded. Yes. And it attracted that in because I was creating that feeling every day and intentionally knowing, well, if that's the vision I choose, the embodiment is to feel really calm and grounded. And there has been times in this creation it hasn't felt calm and grounded. But most of the time it's a practice of coming back to that and remembering, okay, this is what creates this. And oftentimes it's not the peak experience or the really excited energy that I know that I'm on track when it comes to this creation. It's in those still, calm, grounded moments, I'm like, oh, okay, this is where the decision's made from, because this is the energy that created all of this. Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah, I feel that so deep in my bones. My partner is also very calm and grounded and has helped me feel so much more safe in that energy, for sure. And I mean, I feel like really what you're speaking to is just like manifestation, right? Sometimes we don't even know what we want, but we have to just know how we want to feel, and then getting ourselves into that state before anything shows up or we have the clarity or whatever. So I love that as even just like a, you know, you can call it an embodiment practice, an artistic practice, a daily practice, like whatever you want to call it. I'm literally just like feeling it of like, oh wow, like your powerful, like creative energy happens in the calm. And I think that's true for most people, like most amazing things. Like, sure, we have those peak states, but it really is that like connected, rooted to the earth, grounded feeling where it's like that feeling of like home and I can take a deep breath.
Yeah. I learn a lot from nature, and what's coming in is like the idea of sitting with something that's really calm in nature. You feel a lot of peace, a lot of calm. And if you go out on a really fucking, oh, am I allowed to swear on here?
Oh, of course. I just launched a class called Zero Fucks. You can definitely swear.
Like a really fucking windy day, and like you can't hear anything and it's really chaotic and windy. Like,
yes.
The elements teach us a lot about, you know, you can't think in a really chaotic, windy place. You know, it's like all encasing and you just feel like you're getting bashed around. And the chaos of that is part of coming back to the calm. And I think, you know, some of the best drop-ins or the best times I've had with like downloads are when I'm up on the mountain and it's like deathly quiet, like you cannot hear anything, and then the drop-ins come because you can actually listen to your inner world. And so that calm groundedness is a place that I really try to cultivate in my day. And that feeling state, that's our soul's language. You know, we can think our way to anything. We can think we know something, but it's not until we feel something that the soul recognizes, oh yeah, Oh, this is the experience I'm desiring. It's the feeling state that the soul's always seeking. That's its language. And so if we can really cultivate and practice a relationship with feeling, which a lot of us are quite scared of, and I find when it comes to psychedelic work or even breath work, a lot of people were really, you know, afraid to go into those places of feeling in case it's uncomfortable. And the invitation is to really cultivate that relationship, build an intimacy with those uncomfortable feelings, because on the other side of them is bliss and ecstasy and knowing who you truly are, and knowing the truth of yourself, and really being able to access that calm, grounded state. Because without going into those nitty gritty places, it's really hard to create calm and groundedness, because a lot of us don't feel safe in that place because we've not experienced it or created a relationship with it.
Oof, that's so good. I feel like we could go in a million directions from that. What feels like, where I do want to go is, you spoke to, you know, psychedelics or mushrooms, whatever, like as a place where we can access that. And I know for me, both breath work and mushrooms have really like completely changed my DNA, how I show up in the world, my general energy. They've helped me release that like addiction to this chaotic energy and like come back to nature. You know, earlier I was just outside kind of playing around in the grass, just like getting my feet, you know, in the earth. And I would love to hear for the listeners that maybe have never experimented with or begun to start with microdosing or psilocybin or any of this. They're like, I am so new to the plant medicine world. Can you speak to that for the beginner who's like curious and wants to know, like, what is this like invitation? Like, where do I begin? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, disclaimer, I'm going to say it. Psilocybin, psychedelics are illegal in most countries, including New Zealand and most of the states in America. It is becoming decriminalized at the moment. So anything I share here is educational. It's not a recommendation. It's not for you to go and take my advice and go do. You get to have sovereign choice, whoever's listening to this. Just a disclaimer, because it is an illegal substance. And there's reason for that. There's things that played out for these substances to remain kind of hidden and secret, or to create a fear in our society to not go there. And so a lot of times when people think about leaning into psychedelics, because they're illegal and because there was a war on drugs in the late 60s, it seeded this consciousness, it seeded this idea that they're going to make you go crazy. And what I have found from my own experiments with myself, with all kinds of psychedelics, and I've got a really close relationship with psilocybin, is that you realize when you're in that state with them, when you cultivate a relationship with them and you trust the medicine more and more, you're trusting yourself more and more. It's leading you to you. And the only craziness that was ever there was the insanity that you were living before you realize. Like, it takes you so deeply into yourself that the thing you were scared of, you see, you were actually living in. Like, it has unraveled and completely exposed the ideas, the ways of being, the oddness of habitual ways of being that have been created by others that weren't true to who I am. And it's led me back into myself to question those things and choose again. And that's where I think integration and embodiment is. It's like, okay, it's cool to have these realizations when you're in those states, but how do I want to be now that I know what I know? And it does lead you into that unknown state, especially a macrodose. And so what I love about microdosing and why I utilize it with clients, if they're choosing that in our coaching dynamic, is it's a subtle way to build that intimacy, cultivation, intention with this, the product or the the mushrooms or the mm-hmm. substance. It's a way of working with the spirit of that energy, because each different psychedelic definitely has a spirit to it. And totally. Mushrooms really have that trickster magician kind of.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was like what you were saying earlier, you were saying like a lot of people don't realize what goes into creation. And I feel like creation has a lot of trickster magician archetype energy, because it's like, I'm going to do 10,000 hours of hard slog. I'm going to feel the feelings that create the artist to produce what she does or he does, to put out what I put out into the world, to invoke thought or expand imagination or create a deeper sense of connection to nature, or whatever the why or intention is. No one sees all the things that it's taken for you to create this like thing that everyone's like, how was that created? It's that real trickster energy, which is what I love about psilocybin. I really play in that trickster energy, that magician energy, because I like it, and I like that about artists and creation. And oftentimes these psychedelics or plant medicines lead us back to the biggest cosmic joke, which is that, you know, there is no separation. You and I are one thing. I'm a reflection of you. We're all parts of one whole thing. Mm. And the day-to-day insanity is believing that we are somehow separate, or that there is no through line in this game, and that everything seems, you know, really fucked up in the world, and why is that there? And without the intel or the expanded awareness that these medicines give us, it's really hard to see through that fog of reality. And what I find is they broaden the spectrum of awareness so that we can see a whole new reality, and we play a whole new game of life, because the spectrum's been widened. And that's the gift of plant medicines, and microdosing does it in such a subtle way. And when you're working with that, with support and intention, and setting yourself up with like really deep intention, really cultivating that relationship, magic happens. That's why they're called magic mushrooms.
Oh my God. When you spoke and like spoke to the like trickster energy, I got full body goosebumps, because I think that for me has been the experience of realizing that this entire, like our entire existence is a cosmic joke, and our ego is so serious about everything. Like everything is so serious. Money is so serious. Business is so serious. Fucking life has to be so serious and hard and draining. And I had that belief. Like I felt like my whole life was a struggle. And then something radically shifted after my first and maybe second or third journeys that I went on. The first two were guided. The third one was I took myself basically into the woods for 5 hours. And it was like, you said it as like expanded awareness. For me, what I see it as is like, I had like so many layers of shit on my glasses. And it was like, every time I experimented with mushrooms, another film and another veil was lifted, and I saw the truth. And I was like, oh my God, like whether you believe in God, the universe, whatever, like literally laughing at us, just causing ourselves so much pain and struggle because that's how we think it has to be. And then I had this experience and I was like, wait, we are all just taking life so seriously. And yes, of course, there's times where we need to, but like generally, like we can lighten up. And like, for me, it's always been a really, really, really deep connection to like my core essence, like my inner child, like the rawest, most supported, most full of love, worthy version of me, who is just like, guys, do you get it? Like, we're so good here, you know, like we're so good. And then every time I have that experience, I have this it's basically this like comedic archetype that comes out in me that's just like, oh my God, like looking around, like super grounded, but looking around and being like, guys, like, do you see? Like, we're in the circus.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing. It opens the aperture. So you can see, oh, you know, like the, you said, the window wipe clean or your glasses wipe clean. It's just like, oh, shit. None of this matters.
Yes.
Everything that I've been taking so fucking seriously. None of it matters. And this is what I love about microdosing, because it softens that serious mind. And this is why there hasn't been a lot of research or study done on microdosing when it comes to LSD or psilocybin. But citizen scientists like myself and people who have played in microdosing, who they're doing studies, but it's citizen science. Like, it's not in a lab and it's not funded kind of thing.
Yeah.
They have found it's really effective for people who have depression or can get in like that really serious state or anxiety. It yeah. just softens some of that so that you can actually have focus and, you know, oh, have gratitude for the fact that the sun's shining in the window today and that there's water in your glass in front of you. And that, you know, it just softens some of that, that singular focus that's just looking at all the ways, which is like our survival brain, is yeah. this safe, is it not safe, should I do that or that, what's going to happen, what if, do, you know, that that mind that can get so so narrow focused on like keeping safe.
Yeah.
And what it does is it just softens us into remembering we're always safe. And this is just a mechanism to help us. And when we allow that to broaden further and we teach, oh, it's safe. Like I can do this. You just teach again and again. And this is, you know, every single time I sit at the altar of working with these plants, whatever plant it is, there's nerves. Like I'm so like, okay, surrendered into, because you don't know what's going to show up. It could be, you know, a deep understanding of why something happened, or it could be a real felt sense of like going into some pain that you avoided through partying and substances that you've got to go to break through on. And you don't know what's going to show up in a psychedelic experience. And, you know, people talk about bad trips, which I think is why a lot of people veer away from playing in psychedelics or working in this way. And what I know to be true from my own experience, when things get really challenging in a big experience, like if you're having a macro dose of something or say working with ayahuasca, which is a, you know, a big experience, or even 5-MeO-DMT code, if it's challenging, this is trying to make sense of mm. it. Yeah. And when you're in it, but also in the integration of it. And one of my favorite teachers who I've worked with, Neil Donald Walsh, he wrote Conversations with God.
Yeah,
I was working with him integrating a really big experience I had with the toad. Have you heard of toad? 5-MeO-DMT?
I have. Yes.
Yeah. And because I was struggling, it took me into major social anxiety afterwards. There was a lot of suicidal ideation that I was just sitting with and being with every day. Like I really got to go into the depths of my subconscious around yeah. some things that had been there. They were always there. It's just like the gate opened.
Yeah.
And I told Neil my experience of what that was when I was in it, because it was the most joyful, blissful, like, oh my God, like, yeah. like heaven is a place on earth. And like when I came back, because in that experience, there's nothing, there's no reference point. There's no you or I, it just yeah. is. And you become that and it's eternity. And that goes on and on. That was my experience anyway. And it goes on wow. and on and on. I felt the most whole and just like, oh, we won the jackpot the moment we came here. The fact that there is a you and an I and we can have a conversation is a miracle.
Yeah.
And when I was integrating it, I was trying to understand with the limitation of my mind. And Neil said something so beautiful to me. He said, how old are you? And I think I was like 35 at the time.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, this has 35 years of data of knowing what it knows. So 35 years. And right. there's a lot of mini moments that have happened in that time. So it knows what it knows, and it's intelligent to a point.
Mm.
But that place is infinite. It's information that is eons, you know? And yeah. to try and make something that only has 35 years of understanding, get that?
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. Let it go. And as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, like this was wow. trying to make sense of it and trying to find a way to let it be something when it just is. And
yeah.
this isn't meant to understand this, because this, what we really are, is it. And so therefore this has no place there. And so sometimes the challenge is letting go of the mind,
yeah.
letting go of needing it to have a meaning, especially when you're in a journey, because when you're in a journey and it's taking you somewhere and it's getting uncomfortable, this wants to hold mm-hmm. on to control. And as soon as you let go, it's the best thing, but it's the practice of letting go.
Yeah.
And the surrender. And sometimes a challenging trip, or what you call a bad trip from my experience, is that push and pull of is it safe for me to let go? Can I expand beyond what I know that I know into some real unknown space that could be scary, or it could be the best thing I've ever experienced? And whenever I let go into like complete surrender, it's like coming home.
Yeah.
To who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the feeling is like a deep remembrance. Like that's the only way I've ever been able to like describe it. When you just said that about what Neil said to you, I feel like that even was like medicine for me, because I remember I was voice messaging like two of my best friends, and I was like, you guys, I am in a microdose right now, and I'm sending you this so that I don't forget this when I come back to being not on this. And I was like, I think what I'm most confused about is that I now know nothing matters. And so why would I care to create or do things? Like if nothing matters and we're all going to die, but we also all like, this is all a joke and whatever, like what's the fucking point? Right. And so it took me to a really kind of like depressing state mm-hmm. of like,
I've been there.
So yeah. It's like, get it. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is the point of all this shit? Like, why am I trying to build a business? Like, fuck this, you know? And, but since even being a little bit far out from that experience, that was probably like a year, no, not even, probably 6 months ago. I now see, oh, I was still in the seriousness of the thing, and I wasn't yet fully embodied and connected to the play and the mm-hmm. fact that like life and business and all of that is a pure experiment, and there's no way to do it. Like there's not a one size fits all formula. Like it's really just like letting your soul and letting what is bringing you joy, following that. And that is so unique for everyone. And like, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, of course my mind couldn't figure out this fucking phenomenon, because it's what, million, like it, there's like time can't even, there's no such thing as time. So like what?
Yeah. Well, and I've had this experience where I was so angry at like, I'm showing like none of it matters. And I was so angry for a long time. And I was like, then what's the fucking point? I was in this loop. The first mushroom trip I ever had, it was a very high dose. It was like 5 grams, which is a hero's dose.
Wow. Yeah.
And it dissolved reality as I knew it. And it was in a ceremony. And I just was like, then what's the fucking point? And it took months for it to land. And it's like, whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Like none of it fucking matters. Whatever you want this life to mean to you, it's up to you, and you can play it however you want. And the point of it is to live. The fact that I'm getting goosebumps while I say it is like, we won the jackpot coming into this existence. Like the fact that I have a reference point to something else is a miracle.
Mm.
The fact there's a mountain right there and I can look at it and I know who I am in reference to this majestic being that's right on my doorstep here, or who I am in relationship to you right now, having this beautiful conversation. And that's what I truly believe and what I've come to realize is, you know, who am I in relationship to that? Mm. And it's a lot of what I love to ask people, because oftentimes that needs shifting. You know, when we're having triggers or challenges or things showing up or things not working in our creations, it's like, who are you being in relationship to that challenge? Who are you being in relationship to that person or that problem or that trigger? Like, who am I in relationship to that? And that comes back to who you're being. It's the feeling, it's the felt sense, it's that practice and cultivating, like, who do I choose to be? Because oftentimes we're choosing to be something in relationship to something else, especially money. Money's a great one to talk about, because you know, who am I in relationship to that? You know, far out, when we look at the ideas that have been created around money up until when we start to choose to cultivate a different relationship with it and choose to perhaps shift and move it. And this is like a practice that happens the whole time you're living. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how my relationship to money today was very different to a week ago or 6 months ago or 10 years ago. And it's that, who am I in relationship to this? Because oftentimes we put blame on the other thing, on the thing we're in relationship with, and we think it's because they're doing that, or it's because there's some system that's trying to control me, or, you know, like, we, that's the relationship you believe is in that, and that's what will show up in your reality, because we are in a make-believe world. What we make believe is true. It's our reality. It's, we're making our reality come true through our beliefs. And so therefore, who am I in relationship to that is a really good question to start creating who we actually choose to be, rather than being in our default. And I think this is why plant medicine, psychedelics are a really beautiful tool to remind us that everything is neutral, that there is so much choice and infinite possibility within this reality. And it's when you are willing to get really intimate with the relationship with yourself and then with your external world that you start creating on purpose, and you start building a life or a business or relationships that you're choosing, not by default, but really on purpose and with deep intention.
Oh, so good. I'm like, oh my God, like truly, truly, like, that one message, right, about being in relationship to things, to life, to money, to people, to your partner, to your business. When we stop trying, like, when we stop seeing the thing we're in relationship with as something to figure out or a problem to solve, which I know many women can relate to, especially in relationship where you're trying to fucking fix your man or change your man or whatever, you know, I've been there.
Thing or read this book.
Yeah. It's like, come to this couples retreat and, you know, heal all your traumas and, like, be as enlightened as me. It's like, for fuck's sake, like what if, just for a moment, like, you met the relationship with self or partner or money or business with loving, fun, playful curiosity? Like, just that alone, like, curiosity and a playfulness, that shift will change fucking everything, you know. And you were talking so much about self-trust and how, you know, this work, whether it's through breath work or through, you know, microdosing or whatever, it is just a mirror and a portal in a way for us to experience deeper levels of self-trust. And I see that so much more now that I've gone on a good amount of journeys, and just being like, wait, that's why everyone is so serious. It's because, like, we've forgotten how we can be fully supported if we choose to be fully supported by life, by earth, by money, by knowing, like, when we trust that we've released money, it will come back. You know, it's like, it's not going to abandon you. Yeah. Like, oof, that is so good. Like just shifting the relationship and using the power of plant medicine to help us deepen in that. Like,
yeah. And I think, you know, breathwork takes you there. And what I believe it to be is it brings you into such presence.
Mm.
With a really deep macro dose. And by the way, that micro dose that you took where it took you to like fucking nothing matters, that must have been more than a micro dose.
Yeah, it probably was.
Because a micro dose, because this is something that I want to speak to, because I'm like, those who are listening who have never done a macro dose or a micro dose will be like, holy shit, if I take a micro dose and go to work and then nothing matters, why the fuck would I be at work, you know? Yeah. So so it sounds like that was probably a mini dose to a macro dose, that if it took you to that
I place. Probably just remembered wrong. I think that probably was a realization from like an actual full dose, and then but it came up in a deeper way in a micro dose. Yeah. Of like,
yeah, so because it'll bring more awareness, and this is the thing with a microdose, it's sub-perceptual, and so there's subtleties to it, which I find is more integrative, and it's a really good tool after big journeys to work in a protocol of microdosing to help them land in the body as we're out in nature and we're like, oh, okay, and then we can contemplate, you know, because when you're in a high dose journey, yes or yes, you're going to be present to whatever's showing to you. Mm-hmm. And it's the presence that's actually the key. Someone said to me, who's a beautiful medicine woman and friend of mine once, is like, the medicines are neutral. It's our relationship to them that creates the experience that we're having. And I was just like, oh, of course. And so like, if we're having a bad trip, it's our relationship. It's how we're thinking. The medicine is working with us. And that's from our internal world, because we're projecting an idea onto it. And then when we surrender and we get really present and we allow,
whew, oh my God, I feel like my mind is like that emoji where it's exploding. Like, whoa, I never thought about that relationship, but wow. Okay.
And so it's everything is a version of us showing us. And the medicines are these very intricately intelligent, infinite beings that are also showing us another aspect of who we are and taking us to that place. And so it brings us into presence. Breathwork does the same. I was listening to a freaking amazing podcast yesterday. If you haven't listened to it, or whoever's watching this, it is, these two men are two of my favorite men on earth. Neil Donald Walsh is one of my favorite men on earth.
Yep.
And Rick Rubin. Do you know who Rick Rubin
is? Yeah.
Rick Rubin has a podcast, and he interviews Joe Dispenza, and Joe Dispenza is going on about like, when you heal, you've got to get to that zero point, and it's coming into pure presence. And that's the state where shifts happen, where the broadening of beliefs can shift and move. It's when the neuroplasticity can start creating new circuits so that you create new beliefs, so you create a new reality.
Right.
Breathwork does that. It brings you into presence. Psychedelics brings you into presence. Meditation brings you into presence. Dancing brings you into presence. Exercising brings you into presence. Being in nature brings you into presence. All of these things are embodiment tools to take you back into the present moment so that you can actually be with what is. Mm. And then cultivate a relationship from that place within yourself so that you start creating with what is outside of you that you're in relationship to, because it's all you showing you.
Right. Yeah.
But that presence is the key, and these tools, meditation, breathwork, psychedelics, movement, transcendental, you know, all these things are taking us to the presence, which is being with what is, which is allowing what's here. And then from that place, things start to get really fun.
Right. Because without that, without the present moment, we have no power. You know, it's like, that's where our power is. And if not, then we are living by default or on autopilot or by all of the, you know, garbage thoughts and 95% of our subconscious mind that's full of fear and scarcity and all the reasons why we can't be happy. and that's running the show. So it's like, yeah. And I mean, you were just, you were going on your stories and sharing about your ice baths. Even that for sure is like,
oh, you're going to be like
deep fucking present. You can't not breathe or else, like, you know, like it's so shocking, but that's why it's so healing. And I'm such a fan of embodiment because I think also anyone with a good amount of trauma, right? Like we just disembody and we just live in our head and go up there so quick. We overthink, we second guess, we are in our heads and, you know, projecting worst case scenarios. We're anticipating the negative. But then when we come back to dance, for me is definitely my favorite practice, but dance, like, oh, you come back and you're like, yo, I'm hot shit. Let's go. And it anchors you back to the truth. So yeah, I like, thank you for sharing all of those practices too. Cause I feel like everyone listening is going to be like, yes, like nodding their heads. Like, yes, like I need more of that presence in my life.
100%. And this is the thing, we talk about microdosing a substance, right? Like psilocybin or LSD. Microdosing presence is the ultimate. If you can cultivate a practice to microdose presence in your day-to-day life, you will see magic happen. Ooh. Microdosing psilocybin is taking you to presence. And these practices combined with that is also adding to you being a human that can come into focus and clarity and really allow yourself to be with what is and move from that place. And this is why I love the ice, because it takes me into presence within like a minute. I'm like, and then the messages come through. It shows me what I've been seeing. Another medicine that I freaking love, which is not everyone's cup of tea because it's uncomfortable, is Cambo. It's a purgative.
Yeah. And it helps.
They call it the hunting medicine. It's a real boost for the immunity of the body. Yeah. And yes or yes, you are going to sit with discomfort, and how that looks for different people, because I've held space for it a lot, is interesting. Like some people can just be with it, sit with it, wait for it, do the big purge, sit with it, be with it, do another purge, whatever happens, and then have a little rest. And then some people, it's like chaotic, and it's like, because it's the most uncomfortable experience. But why I love it is it's making me have to be with discomfort. And when we show up for that discomfort intentionally and we cultivate a relationship with discomfort, it makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
And this is what I love about the medicines. They take you to uncomfortable places to build a body and a resilience that can be with, you know, the problems that show up in entrepreneurial life or in relationship to your romantic partner or being a mother to a child that is like reflecting so much of your inner child back to you. And it builds this resiliency to choose again and again, like, who do I want to be in relationship to life?
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. It's like the meeting the resistance and being curious instead of the avoidance of it. You know, it's like all the triggers. I recently saw this quote. If I remember who it was from, I would share, but it was like, don't waste a good trigger. Like lean in to the trigger. Like it's there to help you heal and return to more wholeness. It's not, if you just run away from the resistance and you run away from the trigger or from the story that you're telling yourself around why nobody's buying your thing or why your partner doesn't want to hang out with you tonight, then that's just going to keep repeating itself until you just look it square in the fucking face and say, oh shit, there's a part of me here that needs to be met. And I feel like that's that like edge of like, are you going to lean in or are you going to run away? It's like, don't waste a good trigger. Like what else are we here for? You know?
And I think the concept for some people who don't understand that leaning in, for me, it's going into my body. It's being present with the feeling. I had a client yesterday, I'm working with a couple at the moment, and there was something that showed up around jealousy, and that person had never experienced that ever before. And I was like, and they're like, oh, it's the green-eyed monster. And there's all this idea around jealousy. I was like, Oh, jealousy is a great thing. I was like, if you build intimacy with the feeling or sensation of jealousy when it shows up, it is desire. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm jealous of that. What did I see there that I desire? And then it flips it on its head, but you've got to build that intimacy and relationship with your feelings to get to that point. And it's like when you're leaning in, because that word is used as kind of coaching jargon a lot. It's like leaning in looks like sitting with what's here. Oh, fuck. Yeah. I feel really uncomfortable. What is here for me? Let me go into it. And that's why all of these practices really allow us that microdose of presence to cultivate that relationship with ourselves. And it's like, oh, I'm really jealous. What is jealousy? What does that feel like in my body? What's here? And when you expand into that in the body and you feel it through movement or self-pleasure, or, you know, like I've self-pleasured on jealousy and it's broken through into this like pure desire. And I'm like, oh, I just love them and I want that with them. Like it's, I don't want that them to have that with that. I want to experience that with that person or whatever it is. It gets fun. You can play with these energies and these feelings and these embodiment practices, these microdoses of presence that I keep talking about are the key to leaning in.
I love this so much. I feel like this conversation, I'm like, oh my God, we could keep talking for like hours. But I just know that everyone listening is like, like nodding their heads of like, yes, this is the medicine that I needed. Purely from a like just the presence, like how we can access that present moment, whether it's through any of these embodiment practices, whether it's through microdosing, whether it's through breath work, like holy shit, just the power of the present moment. And I'm so grateful you brought all of this to our convo. I've enjoyed it so much.
Same. Thank you for having me. Yeah. And it's having someone to remind us. We forget, you know. This is just a reminder, because oftentimes we get in our serious, like, it's got to be a certain way, focused mind, and, you know, oh, actually, it doesn't matter that much, or, oh, I can just let it go. These reminders are so key, and I think that's why the work that you offer into the world and what I gift into this world is such a beautiful offering, because we all need reminding from time to time, myself included.
Yep. Same here, girl. Same here. Can you share more about where my lovely community can find you online and what you've got coming up?
Yeah. So I am Jenna, Jenna.Marie.Hitchcock. I think my accent, you'll know how to spell Hitchcock. Yeah. Jenna, a lot of Americans think I'm Gina because of my New Zealand accent. Like, anyway, so Jenna Marie Hitchcock on Instagram. If you want to find me on my website, jennamariehitchcock.com. And what's coming up, I've got a podcast starting called The Medicine Cabinet, where I'm bringing counsel in a cabinet of people who are in the medicine world, whether that's alternative medicines or psychedelics, where we talk about all things to help our wholeness and our wellness in our bodies. And so that's launching in the next month. And then I have a new membership starting in the next month as well. All around creation and being in conversation with creation and building that relationship. And there'll be embodiment tools, there'll be challenges and like delicious offerings and that. So that's coming very soon. I have a few spaces for one-on-ones at the moment that have just opened up. So you can reach out to me on Instagram or through emailing through my website will be perfect. Amazing. And there'll be some retreats later in the year. I'm just waiting on a few little aspects to finish up on our land before I do offerings of retreats. But yeah.
That's going to be incredible. I cannot wait to see the retreats in action. Just like, oh my God, it's a dream of mine as well to have a retreat space. That's on the vision. But yeah, you guys, I will share all of Jenna's handles, links, all of that in the show notes of this episode. So please go give her some love, follow her. Please, like, her journey is incredible. I mean, I love just like watching you on social media. It's so cool to see what you're up to. And I'm excited to hear what you guys think. Tag both of us on social media, take a screenshot of the episode and let us know your biggest takeaway. Let us know if you are going to be experimenting or starting with some microdosing or what embodiment practices you're going to take away for that presence.
Yeah, I have a DIY microdosing kit free resource that's coming out in the next week as well. So if you head to my website, that should be on there in the next few days. I don't know when this podcast is coming out. It'll be there by probably the time this launches. So
Perfect.
Yeah, and it's a way that you can have a guide as to how to start. Yeah.
That's so good. Okay. That's perfect. That we'll give you guys the link so that you can have that and use that as a resource. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, Jenna. I appreciate you. So excited to hear what you guys think, and we will catch you on the next week. Bye, everyone.